Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm really happy to be here with you today on this Friday. Y'all know we love a Friday show. We've got a special bonus one in store for you today, and you know who it is, and you're as thrilled as I am. Hey, before we get to that, we want to point out just one little thing. It's still the very beginning of March, only 3 days in, which means you are not too late to jump into Let's Read the Gospels for March. This month, we're reading in chronological order, so we encounter the gospel stories in the order that they happen, which means each day we're jumping back and forth to at least three, if not all four, of the gospels. So be sure you're subscribed to Let's Read the Gospels. Invite your friends to join and visit anniefdowns.com/gospel. For all the details and to get your March reading plan or the year-long Let's Read the Gospels guidebook and jump in with us. Today on the show, I get to talk with my new friend, Jonathan Roumie. So he's probably best known by our group of friends for his award-winning role as Jesus in The Chosen. Jonathan Roumie is an actor, a director, producer, a voiceover artist for projects like Chicago Med, The Mindy Project. Have y'all seen him on The Mindy Project? We talk about it. The Good Wife, Law and Order, and the NCIS franchise. Jonathan was born and raised in New York City, graduated from the School of Visual Arts with a degree in filmmaking, and then moved out to Los Angeles to pursue acting full-time. Here's a fun fact. Jonathan serves as the strategic advisor for the Hallow app, one of the apps I told y'all about that I'm using in my Lent rhythms this year. It's a really awesome prayer meditation app. I've really enjoyed it so far. He's out there on the big screen as we speak in the new movie Jesus Revolution, playing the real-life hippie street preacher Lonnie Frisbee. Y'all, I got to see this movie. It's so interesting, and the way Jonathan portrayed Lonnie was absolutely brilliant. So don't worry, we're going to talk all about that and The Chosen and, well, pretty much everything. He is so gracious, and I think you're absolutely going to love him. I know you love him in the roles he plays. Today, we get the opportunity to realize the man behind the roles he plays, and I'm even more impressed, truly. You'll feel this by the end of the conversation, but his honesty, his kindness, and I'm just really grateful. So this is a good Friday conversation with Jonathan Roumie. Jonathan Roumie, welcome to That Sounds Fun.
Hello, Annie. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, gracious. What a treat. Thank you so much for making time to do this.
My pleasure.
I need to tell you where we have to start. You were on the Mindy Project?
Yeah, that was a trip. That was awesome.
I mean,
I love that.
Tell me what Mindy Kaling is like in real life.
She's funny as all heck.
That's what I need you to say.
She's such a hoot. She's such a hoot. She's really sweet.
When I was reading your bio yesterday, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, The Chosen part and Jesus Revolution. I was like, Mindy Project? How did I miss this? Okay, so I would love to talk to you about The Chosen for just a minute, and then we'll jump into Jesus Revolution stuff. I know this is your whole public life right now. So talk to me a little bit. That's one of my first questions is, how are you balancing a public life all about faith and then having a private faith?
That's a very good question, and it's a very tricky, you mentioned tightrope. Sometimes it feels like a tightrope.
Yeah.
Because the place that you go for kind of, you know, to disconnect connect, to disengage for kind of safety and security is the first place I get recognized, really, typically. But I've been very fortunate that most people just kind of leave me be, you know. But when they don't, it's usually like somebody that's from out of town or something like that. And they're like, what is he doing here? You know, but it's, I mean, it's part of it. You know, I anything that can be perceived as anxiety inducing, which for me, more or less an introvert, is something that I just have to offer up. You know, I just got to offer it up and in union with Christ's own cross and be like, everybody's got to cross the bear. If this is my cross, I got off pretty easy. You know what I mean? Mm. So I just got to just offer it up and be like, Lord, just help me get through it. I mean, mentally it starts to get taxing after a while. And you start to like wonder every encounter is just like, what's going to happen? Like, how is this going to play out? And so it's been interesting and beautiful. And most of the times, I mean, I'm very fortunate in like, because of the character that I play. And when people have these encounters, these one-on-one encounters, where they see me in a restaurant or a club or something like that. I was just at a play the other night, and there was a club adjacent and in Los Angeles here, and I don't really get recognized in Los Angeles, which I'm okay with. I don't mind if I don't get recognized anywhere. I don't need to be recognized. Yeah. But when somebody recognizes me in Los Angeles, it's unusual because it's just it's not that kind of a culture. And this girl was like, are you the guy? Do you play Jesus on The Chosen? I said, yeah. She's like, she couldn't believe it. And then she's like, you don't understand. And I'm like, wow, this is in Los Angeles now. Like, it must be getting around, you know? And I think part of, I'm kind of ignorant to a lot of the publicity of where this is reaching and how far it's reaching or what the impact truly is. I mean, I hear firsthand from people that I meet, but you don't think of it in that way when it's you. You're just like, I get to work. I get to play this character. I mean, the alternative is like, I heard a story from this guy once that he had a client. He was like a hairstylist, and he had a client who was an actor on a show. It was like a Netflix show or something where he played like a bad dude. Like, I don't know if it's like a rapist or something like that. Oh no, he played a murderer. Sorry. He played like a murderer that killed, like he played a teenager. He killed a teenager in the show. And he said he got death threats
for playing the character.
And he said, this guy was a hairstylist. He was like, he's telling me like, it's just been awful for him. Like he just collapsed in the chair. Like he just broke down because he just didn't understand why people were treating him like he had actually committed a crime.
Right.
When he was an actor.
Right.
Like, man, like that just goes to show you, like people come up to me and tell me all these things about how their spirituality's changed and like how they've been brought back to church. One guy approached me in a parking lot, said, your show saved our marriage. You saved our marriage.
Wow.
Right. Glory to God. But it's, you know, so it could be a lot worse, but at the same time, I think as humans, we're only built for a certain amount of interactions. And when you start crossing the threshold of those interactions, it has an effect on you, but that's why I have God. So he helps.
There's a therapist here in Nashville that meets with a lot of artists and public people. And he says the human heart was not built for fame.
Not at all. Right. I shot this documentary over the last year and a half, exploring the impact of Jesus on the culture through conversations with pastors, theologians, musicians, artists. And there was a therapist and she talks about that very thing. And like, you have a body budget. So like your nervous system is only prepped to experience a certain level of anxiety. And then when you're in a position of like celebrity, all of a sudden you exceed that budget in that every encounter creates this unknown situation where like your body doesn't know what to do. So all of a sudden like cortisol starts getting produced and like it doesn't quite know what to make of it. And then like, if nothing happens, it's like, okay, but there is this stress response that's triggered automatically. And then if you multiply that times, like, let's say you're doing an appearance somewhere and then you have hundreds of thousands of people, or you're just going out in public in a place where like they know the show.
Yeah.
It's like, now I'm thinking about this. Like, how does this affect me? You know what I mean?
Yes. So,
It's,
you just never know how big the check is that you're writing just going to the grocery store.
Right.
Or going to the, right. Yeah.
Nobody gives it you a manual on celebrity. They just, you're just like, good luck.
And Jonathan, to be honest, your celebrity is a super weird version of celebrity because people have Jesus-sized expectations on you.
There's a little bit of projecting that happens, I think.
Yeah, I would think so. I would imagine so. Yeah, that they expect the meeting with you is a, in a tiny, tiny way. My comparison is because I do write spiritual books. When people see me, this is a God moment.
Like,
even if if my moment has, even if I've just like been dumped and I'm sobbing and I'm walking at the park, this is, God has aligned this for them.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to be okay.
Yeah.
And so you have that times fully God, fully man.
It's like being a priest or a pastor. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like people are like, heal me. And I'm like, I can't, but I can help. But I'm like, I need it myself right now. It's like when you need to recharge. Like, no wonder Jesus went to the mountain by himself all those times. Like, how could he handle it otherwise as the human part of him?
Yes.
He needed that recharge. So,
yeah.
Maybe the answer is just pray more.
That's it. Right. Maybe that's what it is going to. I love that part in episode 8 of season 3 when Matthew tries to go off by himself and his feet get all muddy. That guy's adorable, Jonathan.
He's amazing. Paris is incredible.
It's so sweet. It's so sweet. And thank you for sharing all that about that experience, by the way. That is like, it's the part we don't know. It's the part we don't know being on the other side of your work. And so it gives humanity and sympathy to the gift you're offering us by playing this person who matters so much to us.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't get asked about that often. So it's interesting to talk about. I'm like, am I sharing too much? Like, do people want to hear this? Like, he's like, no, just be Jesus and shut up. Come on.
No, listen, anytime you're with me, I don't want you to just be Jesus. I want you to be Jonathan. Anytime you're on That Sounds Fun, we just want Jonathan. Jesus shows up himself. You just show up as you.
He doesn't, Jesus doesn't need me to show up as Jesus.
Yeah,
he's like,
right.
I did this already. You just be you. Worry about
you. You be Jonathan. That's exactly right.
He couldn't even.
That's right. I mean, except you did walk on water. Can you please tell me a little bit about that scene?
You know.
Don't ruin movie magic, but was that awesome?
It was, I mean, it's like a kid. I mean, you're a kid again.
Right.
You're a kid playing, like, I mean, I don't know if other kids played Jesus when they were growing up. I did, you know, when I was...
You played Jesus growing up?
One of the moments where this became apparent to me that this was what I was meant to do, this is what God had planned for me, was I was doing a passion play. With that is recreating the last 24 hours in Jesus' life right before he goes to the cross and to the point of his crucifixion. And I had co-written and directed this version of the Passion that I was performing as Jesus like 5 years ago or 6 years ago. And as I was prepping for it, years before The Chosen, all of a sudden I had this, I was getting ready to rehearse carrying the cross. And all of a sudden I was hit with this memory of me as an 11-year-old after I had watched Jesus of Nazareth, which I love. Every year I would watch Jesus of Nazareth, the miniseries that was from 1977. It's on NBC. And I was so engrossed and enthralled by that picture, by that series. Like, I went out into my backyard one year. I found a couple of 2x8s. I hammered them together into a life-size crucifix.
You are lying to me.
I painted the hand of God. I painted the, I hammered the nails where the hands go and where the feet go. And I painted blood from the nails. And then I went to a bush and I took something that looked like could be made into a crown of thorns. And I think I popped it on my head and I just kind of processed around my backyard, reenacting the crucifixion to the point where, like, I got to my garage, the end of the Calvary, and then propped the cross against the side of the garage with a cinder block, and then step up into this on the cinder block, slip my hands.
Jonathan Ruby, that is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Our childhoods were different. I did not ever crucify myself as a kid. So the
I'm
Lord
like, nobody called
call
the cops on me? My parents? Like, what was going on? It's like, I'm sorry, your son's carrying around a first century Roman torture device. Is everything okay?
You guys, everything cool in your house?
What's going on here exactly? Is there a church in the basement that we don't know about? Like,
that's right.
What does
I mean,
this mean?
I rode my bike around interviewing myself. So I guess we both ended up doing the same thing.
You know what I'm
the
talking
Lord
about.
Knew. The Lord
that's
knew.
It. The Lord knew it.
Y'all, we all love something that is customized to us. Getting our favorite outfit tailored to fit just right. Getting a custom piece of art for your house. Listening to a playlist that's customized for us based on what we like to listen to. So why not use custom hair care? We all have different hair textures and types, and switching to a custom hair care routine has been so helpful for me. Like, my hair looks healthier and shinier. Plus, Pros also has custom skincare, which is so great because we definitely all have different needs for our skin too. With Pros, it is all about personalization. You do their in-depth consultation and they come up with your made-to-order products. There are millions of possible formulas, but only one is uniquely yours or mine. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, they're cruelty-free, and they're the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that they will bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial of 50% off your first subscription order, you guys. Just go to pros.com/thatsoundsfun so you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/thatsoundsfun. That's PROSE.com/thatsoundsfun. Y'all, I love when my Thrive Market box shows up at my door because it means some of my favorite snacks and cleaning supplies have arrived. And I didn't even have to leave my house. Thrive Market has these protein shakes that I like. I'm addicted to. Plus, I'm on a bit of a gluten-free journey, as you know, so they have a ton of gluten-free snacks that I love, like all the Simple Mills crackers and Siete chips. I save money on every order. There is a deals page that I always check out almost daily. It's embarrassing. And I typically save about 30% on every order. Here's the other thing I love. Thrive Market only allows trusted top-quality ingredients while restricting 1,000-plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high-fructose corn syrup, and more. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or high protein essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting quality products so you can shop worry-free. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. Okay, one of the things I've loved about your public life playing Jesus as the Chosen is I feel like you're doing this beautiful thing, you and Dallas together, of bringing some unity between Catholics and Protestants. And I love, like, Father Mike is one of my favorite dudes. Do you listen to his?
He's amazing.
He's amazing. I've been reading St. Teresa. Like, I am, like, very vibing on Catholic life right now as a Protestant.
We have a rich history. It's all of our history, and people tend to forget that. That's, I'm just like, but wait, you guys, just scroll back, like, 1,500 years. Like,
yes.
We were all one.
Yes.
It doesn't stop being our history together. It doesn't stop. It's still there. And we still had all these phenomenal examples of witnesses to the faith and martyrs.
Yeah. Yeah. So why do you think you can uniquely play Jesus so well with your Catholic background? What do you think you're bringing that maybe someone else who doesn't have a faith or has a different faith is bringing? What's the Catholic part? How's that serving you?
I think I can only speak to that in my prep. For me, before I start every season, part of my preparation is in the church, we have seven sacraments. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the Eucharist, communion.
Yeah.
Another is confession, repentance. And so going to confession, receiving the Eucharist, that becomes my spiritual battery recharge. It's like, all right, I'm topping up now. And now I can basically take that into the work and then stay on track with that throughout the filming process. Yeah. And that just resets everything. It's meant to heal the wounds of sin, of falling and flailing and floundering in my personal life and just coming up short as we do as humans, as we want to do. And so that is the physicalized way that I recharge.
Wow.
Because for us, it's you know, the Eucharist specifically is the body, blood, soul, and divinity actually present there. So when we're receiving it, it's like medicine.
Wow.
I can only point to that.
Yeah.
And just the other thing would just be, you know, in the last 5 years, I had a much deeper conversion to my faith than I had already. And that was born out of surrender. And you know, I was in a very desperate place and I was broke and I was out of food and I didn't know how I was going to get my next meal. And it was an act of surrender on my knees, you know, to God in front of a crucifix saying, just, I've done everything I thought I was supposed to do. And now, but I'm here and I haven't heard your voice when I've asked for guidance, if I should be doing something else. So it's yours. You have to help me because I can't help myself. It's not mine anymore. And maybe that was where I went wrong, is that I thought it was mine, but it was never mine. It was yours. And so I'm going to, you know, said your yoke is easy, your burden is light.
Yeah.
Take mine. And I surrender. I surrender. I don't know what'll happen after today, but it's not my problem anymore. And yeah. I literally let it go. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. And then that afternoon, my life changed. I had this financial miracle. I walked out of my apartment that morning.
Is this in New York or LA?
This is in LA.
Okay.
I walked out of my apartment, $80 in the red, $20 in my pocket, $1,000 in debt. I hadn't worked in weeks. I had no money coming in on the horizon that I could see. And when I came back that afternoon, after dumping everything out to God and surrendering, there were four checks in my mailbox. Well,
you're lying.
Four.
He put four checks in your mailbox.
Four. And I captured
it. Did you just sob?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's actually going to, I've recorded it as I'm opening the checks.
Yes.
To prove that this was actually happening. And that's going to be in the documentary I have coming out this spring.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Story, yeah, because it changed my life. 3 months later, Dallas, like, I think I'm going to do a series. You want to? And I'd done some short films. He's like, yeah. You want to do four episodes of a series? I'm like, and nothing's been the same since. But also, the way I live my life changed in that moment as well. My relationships, my personal relationships weren't the same. My social life was completely different. So I think the combination of all of those things combined helped set me up to play this character in a way that was honoring to Jesus, hopefully. Always falling short, but at least trying to honor him.
I mean, that I cannot wait to see that. That is an unbelievable, the way the Lord does that. Like, money is such not a thing to him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you need money? Oh, yeah. I got the cattle on 1,000 hills. I can get you money.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like when we open our hands to him about those things, he is so generous to go like, oh, I'll sort it for you in a way that reminds you you're dependent on me, not anything else.
That's right. But he had to. Thank you. No, he had to back me into the corner for me to learn that lesson because I wasn't going to learn it otherwise.
That's it.
I was still thinking that I was in control.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I thought it's like the Lord helps those who help themselves. And then I come to find, like, that's not actually in the Bible, I don't think.
Right.
That's not in the gospel.
Right.
The Lord helps those who surrender themselves to him, those who pick up their daily cross, those who depend on him. Got to give it to him. Yes. And so once I did that, I mean, here I am sitting talking to you and on a week away from the premiere of my first lead in a studio movie that with the title Jesus in it. I mean,
Jesus, like, Revolution.
Come on.
I know. And you playing Lonnie is so good, Jonathan. It's so good. I would have to imagine, are people thinking you're playing Jesus again?
Some people initially are. They're like, yeah, more Jesus in the movie. I'm like,
human.
No. This Lonnie was a very flawed human being who loved Jesus, but he was also imbued with the same miraculous gifts that the apostles were. And so that was what was so fascinating to me, was that I actually had the opportunity to talk to people that walked with him and ministered with him. They literally said it was like walking with an apostle. Like you just couldn't believe the things that you witnessed that God did through this man, this young man. So he was quite a force, and he suffered heavily during his life. From the time he was a toddler, he was getting beat up by his drunken father, you know, and like punched in the face as a 3-year-old, and sexually abused for several years by a teenage babysitter. And so in his autobiography is fascinating. Yeah. And that was part of my prep and research and just learning what he went through. just like, man, this poor guy. But look how God used him to bring thousands of people to him at a time where, you know, people were just as crazy then as they are now, like with the LSD was everywhere and you know, it's a search for meaning. And he actually had a vision. He was high on LSD in a place called Taquitz Canyon in Palm Springs, when all of a sudden the air, everything just started to vibrate and kind of settle in around him. And he's like, what's going on? Mm. And then he said, Christ came to him in a vision and he showed them the Pacific Ocean, and where it was supposed to be filled with water, it was now filled with people, with these hippies, just kind of like desperate and searching.
Wow.
And Jesus told him that he was going to bring those people to him. And he literally came off the mountain, down from the mountain, preaching the gospel to anybody who would listen, or anybody who wouldn't listen, he would preach anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a Moses, a like 1970s Moses.
It's like, it doesn't just happen in the Old Testament. It happened like 50 years ago. Like
That's
this
it.
Guy, it's crazy.
That's it.
It's a crazy, beautiful story. And I feel so honored to be part of telling it.
Is it fun getting to be like real life friends with Greg Laurie too?
Greg Laurie's amazing. He's the best.
Yeah.
He's so wise and just supportive and encouraging and funny, and I love him. He's a beautiful, beautiful human being.
It's a great story of the fruit of one person's life. Because as you said, Lonnie clearly was not perfect. He was not Jesus. He was a human. But there's this fruit from this season where he was really committed and really invested in his community. And the fruit is like massive.
Untold.
Yeah,
churches
untold.
Were planted.
That's the word.
Just so many people just came to Jesus in that time because of his influence and his partnering with Chuck Smith. Like that was the thing, like him and Chuck, that's what catalyzed this whole thing. Like they likened it to nitro meets glycerin. And so Lonnie drew them in with his charisma and his spirit and his, you know, the magnitude of his spirit. And then Chuck kind of kept them there and taught them scripture and taught them Bible. And he, you know, taught them about, you know, Jesus, what Jesus did and what he said and how to take that to the next step in their faith journey. And so together they were unstoppable.
Well, this is a compliment. You did a beautiful job of not being Jesus in Jesus Revolution.
Thank you.
I was like, look, he is not acting as the same. He is a different person.
He does other things. Yeah.
Look at that. Jonathan can be other things besides our Lord and Savior.
That's
congratulations.
Right.
Congratulations.
That's right.
Okay, so what comes next? Back to Jesus, huh? Season 4?
Yeah, it's around the corner. We start rolling sometime in the spring for season 4. And
do you get to rest at all?
A little bit. I'm hoping to get a good week or something somewhere quiet, maybe in a mountain
week.
Or on a beach, or at least, I don't know. It's been, you know, it's like the fields are ripe for harvest. And, you know, here I am with a scythe. I might as well just start
keep going,
getting at it, you know. So I also do like, I do some of the things I do outside of this genre, I guess you would say. I do a lot of voices for video games. And I've been working on a game now that's for like the last year and a half, and they've been trying to schedule me out for like a while, and I've just been, you know, with the movie and with the series. And so I'm going to, you know, in the off season, I'm trying to like go back and do more of that stuff, because those projects are also really interesting too. And for me, part of my whole approach to what I do is kind of as a ministry. And if people find my work because they're into gaming, or they're into voiceover, or they're, you know, they're praying, you know, meditations that I narrate on the Hallow app or whatever it is. And then they're like, well, what else does he do? Like they start looking me up and they're like, what's The Chosen? And they don't have a relationship with God or anything like that.
Let's go.
All of a sudden now they're being introduced to something that God clearly has his hand on between Jesus Revolution. I mean, God's hand was all over Jesus Revolution. There were baptism scenes in the film. People were actually getting baptized off set, you know, like there was a woman that came up to me in the middle of a take where she's like wading through the water. We got two cameras on either side. And she's like, I have to tell you something. I said, okay. And I'm like, we're rolling. I'm like, what is it? You know? And she's like, I want to do this for real. I said, you want to get baptized for real? She's like, yeah, can I do that? I said, sure, let's go. Yeah. And so I asked her name and I said, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She's like, 100%. Absolutely. I said, do you repent from your sins? Every single one of them. Oh. And I said, well, then I baptize you, Jenny. We call her Jenny. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I dunked her and she came out. And she was crying. And in the film, during this like montage of baptisms, you catch her just at the very end. I'm like, there she is.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. You're like, there is some real fruit in this movie. Like, you can actually see the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, I hope you get some rest. Well deserved, my friend. Well deserved. Okay, let me tell you the last question we always ask.
Okay.
Because the show is called That Sounds Fun, Jonathan Ruby, tell me what sounds fun to you.
Beach, water, beach. No one else.
All alone on the entire beach.
That's it. Just quiet.
Very bougie. I respect it.
Just quiet on a beach. Yeah, I try.
Are
that
you reading?
Once.
Are you listening to music? Are you surfing? What are you doing?
Well, I tried getting a week away in January, and it wasn't the quiet serenity that I was hoping for. But I did get my first surf lesson, and proud to say it went very well. I caught a couple of waves, and I stood on the board. I used to skate, so
yeah,
it was easier than I thought it was going to be. So
that feels like a good thing you can do by yourself, because you can't really like co-surf on the same board. So
no, not quite.
Go out there, get your time. Okay, is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to make sure we say?
Go see Jesus Revolution February 24th, theaters nationwide.
That's right. Well, thank you for doing this. Your acting matters a lot to me and so many people that are around us, but you being a person matters too. So we celebrate you as a person as well. And listen, anytime there's anything you want to chat about or talk about, you're welcome back here. So
I so appreciate it.
Thank you. Just
so
let
much.
Me know.
God
My
bless.
Pleasure. Oh, y'all, isn't he just the best? Don't you just like honor him for all he's done and all he does. And so I hope you will go see Jesus Revolution. It's in theaters now. Make sure you're caught up on The Chosen. The first 3 seasons are out. It's so good. And why don't you follow Jonathan Rumi on socials? Tell him thank you for being on the show. Just go and like, let's just encourage him. Let's let our words be rest for him. Just speak kindness over him today. So, okay, we heard what sounds fun to Jonathan. Now we get to hear what sounds fun to one of our friends who's listening just like you. All right, Casey, because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what sounds fun to you.
Hi, I'm Casey from White House, Tennessee. What sounds fun to me is going to the zoo with my family and friends.
Yes. Okay, tell me why.
I'm actually wearing my zoo shirt.
You are wearing your zoo shirt. Why do you love the zoo? What is it?
I don't know. I used to be a teacher, and so I just love learning about all the animals and seeing the animals there. So we actually have a zoo membership to the Nashville Zoo, and we definitely use it all the time.
Okay, what's your favorite part? I have a favorite part. I'm interested to know what your favorite part of the Nashville Zoo is.
So there's actually a secret exhibit. If you go to the bear exhibit, and then you go to the bathrooms, the women's restrooms right beside the bear exhibit, there is a secret, like, little exhibit in there. I'm not going to tell you what animal is there because you have to go find it, but
Casey, I'm totally going to go find it. Oh, how did you even know there was a secret exhibit in our zoo?
Well, we were walking around and I had to go to the bathroom about the time we got to the bears, and I walked in and I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh. So I came out and told my family. I was like, guys, there's a such and such in the bathroom. And they were like, what?
Oh,
they thought
gosh.
I was joking. Like, they thought I was totally lying. But yes, you will have to go check it out.
I'm going to. I was going to say the rhinos are my favorite, but that's not near as cool as a secret animal. Okay, I'm going to go
look. And I will say they're really cute.
Casey, what a mystery. I'm so excited.
Yes, we'll have to go together.
I know, we need to. We'll be like, this is when we're meeting up at the bear bathroom. There we go, at the bear's bathroom. Oh, I love it so much. Okay, if you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you may need me. That's how you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home. Do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me is getting to speak tonight to a group of ladies in Hawaii, you guys. I'm in Hawaii. Check my Instagram. I'm sure I'm showing you all of it. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday with my girl, Lauren Daigle. She is one of our faves. We're so happy to have her back. We'll see y'all Monday.